There it is. Destroyed.
Oh my God. It is destroyed. This is terrible. Let me describe what I'm looking at here. It's a copy of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Let me flip through. It's a first edition bought in 2003.
I was devastated.
I can see how you would be. My God, let me describe this. The cover has been ripped apart and taped back together badly. The book is waterlogged, as if it's been left out in the rain, or these look like maybe, are they coffee stains?
It looks like coffee stains. The binding is destroyed. There are pages missing.
Ugh.
Completely.
Ugh. There are pages
ripped out.
There are pages burnt. There are pages. Bill Mattson, what the hell happened to your copy of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix?
You're not going to believe it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 248, Mattson v. Croak. It's He Said, He Said this week as we attempt to get to the bottom of a literary scandal. It happened in 2003 when Reed Martin and I were performing All the Great Books Abridged at the Kennedy Center Terrace Theater in Washington, D.C. with our third at the time, Matthew Croak. As it happened, 2003 was also the summer that the fifth book of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter saga came out, and our old friend Bill Mattson, the manager of the Terrace Theater, is a huge Harry Potter fan. I'll let him begin the story.
After an evening performance, I went to a local bookstore and stayed around until after midnight, mm-hmm. so that I could pick up my copy of my first edition Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix. With being delighted that I was able to get a book, I brought it to the theater with me the next day, and I showed Matt Croak that I'd gotten the book. Matt said, "Gee, Bill, could I use this book for the show tonight? I have an idea." And I said, "Well, sure, Matt, it would be fine, but Matt, this is my first edition book of Order of the Phoenix. I don't want anything to happen to it." He said, "Bill, nothing's going to happen to it. I just want to use it for the show tonight." I said, okay.
Right, I remember the bit. It's the bit where he, as the student, the teacher in All the Great Books, comes in late, and he apologizes for being late because he's just been reading the latest Harry Potter, and he's so excited because he thinks they finally made the Harry Potter movies into a book.
That's correct.
And he holds up this copy of The Order of Phoenix.
That's correct. Well, I told Matt he could use it as long as he promised to get it back to my office immediately after the performance. Mm-hmm. He said, sure, Bill, I can do that. And he did. And the book was returned to my office in perfect condition. Well, the next night, he said, "Bill, that scene went so well. Can I use your Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix again for tonight's show?" I said, "Matt, this is my first edition book. You promise you're going to get it back to me and it'll be in good shape." And he said, "Yes, Bill, it's going to be just fine. Stop worrying about it." So I let him have the book again. And it went very, very well. And at the end of the evening, he said, "Bill, I think I'd like to keep using this book. Is it okay if I just keep it in my dressing room?" And I said, "Matt, no. This is a first edition book, Matt. I really need to keep it in my office." I said, "Tomorrow, if you want to use it, I'll loan it to you again. You can take it and use it and then bring it back to me at the end of the show." Now, if my recollection is correct, he sort of rolled his eyes at me.
That's so him.
That is so Matt Croak. And said, "All right, Bill." Well, so it went well that night, too. And, you know, I got to thinking, gee, maybe I am being a little too anal about my first edition Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix book. So at the end of the show, I did say, "Matt, look, if you think you want to keep using this book in that opening scene, I'll let you keep it overnight in your dressing room. You don't need to bring it back to my office for safekeeping. But, Matt, You have to promise that you're going to take care of this book. And again, I detected an eye roll on his part. But he said, Bill, we'll take really good care of your book. I promise, we'll take really good care of your book. And I said, okay, Matt, you can keep it in your dressing room.
Now, it wouldn't be fair to just hear Bill Mattson's version of these events. There are two sides to every story, so I tracked down Matt Croak at his home in Chicago, and while his daughters played in the background, I listened to what he had to say.
First of all, I have an eye condition, okay? So I was not rolling my eyes. I am fighting allergies that give me an eye. So let's get that straight. Second of all,
you've been fighting it for 20 years, as long as I've known you.
I'm seeing a doctor about it, and he is way off the planet when it comes to his memory. He bought the book Half Burned. I don't know if you remember, but this is Harry Potter and what, the
Order of the Phoenix.
Right, and this is the one where Harry and Voldemort they fight the medieval dragon, I believe I'm getting this correct, and the dragon, and so they burnt some of the pages to represent that battle. So he's clearly forgetting all those facts.
Right, it was published that way, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he bought it like that. He thought he bought this pristine book, but he didn't. It was already ripped. So
yeah, he hadn't read it, had he?
No,
he didn't know what kind of condition it was when he gave it to us.
Now, I think he confuses his dreams with his reality.
Back to Bill Mattson now, who tells me about how the book was returned to him.
Well, we had a very successful run of all of the great books, as one could imagine. And we came to the closing night of that show, which was about, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And the book was used in the opening scene. During the intermission of that last final show, I returned to my office at the intermission, and lying on my desk was this horror. It was my first edition Harry Potter book. The binding is destroyed. The cover is completely ripped, taped together again quite badly. Part of the cover is on upside down. There are multiple pages missing, ripped out, other pages just ripped, coffee stains all over the place, burnt portions of the book. I was devastated. My first edition Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix book destroyed. Thank you, Matt Croak.
But what about the coffee stains? Where did that come from? What happened there?
I was walking down the hall, and there was a baby in trouble. I can't remember all the details. And so I put the book down to help the baby. Maybe it was in a burning room or something like that. And the lady was so happy, she gave me a hug. And I believe coffee was then spilled onto the book, which I tried to brush it off. So, yes, he does have me for the coffee stains. I did, though, then take it to a cleaner's to try to get the coffee out of there. Yes. And looking back in retrospect, that cleaning probably added to some water damage, possibly. It probably exasperated the whole process. So, yeah, I think he'd notice? I was hoping he didn't pay attention. He never pays attention to our shows before. I mean, it's not all of a sudden he's paying attention? I mean, that's my beef. All of a sudden he cares?
Well, I immediately left my office and started down the dressing room hallway to confront Mr. Croak. The minute I turned the corner and was in view of their dressing rooms, all three of the actors immediately leapt from their chairs, leapt into their dressing rooms, slammed and locked the doors.
You know, I want to clarify, walking down the hall, he said he came walking down the hall and we all ran away from him. We do that all the time. That always happens. He's not paying attention.
Yeah, it's not like that was the only time that's ever happened.
No, he told that story like that was in it, like that was an isolated incident. And anytime he walks down the hall, from what I know from other shows, people get up and run from him.
That's everybody, not just us.
That has nothing to do with Harry Potter. Yeah, yeah. He's taking a specific incident towards his argument, and I think that's unfair.
This is Stephen Klein, president of the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky. And you're now listening to a Do Shakespeare podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This month, we have three performances of The Complete World of Sports Abridged in Gainesville, Florida, Athens, Georgia, Decatur, Alabama. Then on October 21st, we begin a three-week run in New York City of The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the New Victory Theater. We'll also be giving two performances of All the Great Books Abridged at Pepperdine University in Malibu and Caltech in Pasadena, California, in October. And starting on November 25th, the day after Thanksgiving, we premiere our eighth stage production, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for The Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to the case of Matson v. Croke in the matter of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. It was good that I was able to take Matt Croke's deposition right there in his own home.
It's good that we're here in your home here in Niles, because I'm now looking at the books on your shelves, and every single one of them is sort of waterlogged and stained, and covers... Now, that cover is not even on the right book.
No. That's not... No, and that one's the one I took to the beach. That one is one I threw out an airplane. Each one of these has a different story. That one I used for the birth of my third child. They didn't have a
towel.
The towel, so I gave it up for that. Some of these I used for when we had the flooding here in the Midwest. I put some as sponges to help out the neighbors. A book is not a book to me, and that's it is a living entity that needs to absorb the world around me. And yeah, sometimes there's collateral damage. I mean, really, 30% of collateral damage for a book is not that bad.
Statistically, yeah, we barely touched the thing.
We barely touched it. Yeah. There's, you can read half of it.
Do you remember promising to keep the book, to treat it well? Did you remember him asking you that?
I do remember that. No, and I thought we did. I mean, yes, physically, did we treat it well? Okay, maybe there's photos that could argue differently. Emotionally, did we treat it well? I mean, I think a lot of those torn pages are from the laughter from the shows. I mean, I think the energy of the book just kind of blew up from all the love that the audience was giving. And I'm sticking with that, by the way. Science be damned. I'm sticking with that theory.
You might be right. But that would certainly be in keeping with not only the power of J.K. Rowling's books,
right,
but the power of theater. The power of theater, the power of the communal emotion in the theater of people laughing and cheering has some physical effects, manifestation.
Yeah, and Bill Madsen is all about, you know, just, you know, putting on a live show and getting dirty and, you know, ripping the cover off. Doesn't he say that all the time?
Yeah.
He may not, but it doesn't matter. He should. Hey, guys, I think he should say, let's just rip the cover off this show.
Because he's a big baseball fan. Let's tear the cover off that show.
Let's tear the cover off the show. And he's always coming back and slapping us on, go get him, guys. And, you know, Roots. And so I think that we manifested all his energy, and it just, you know, I blacked out for a while, too. I'm not going to deny it. I mean, there was a period where I blacked out, and yeah, maybe some things happened to the book, but it was all for the sake of the show.
But apparently, the destruction of Bill Madsen's book wasn't the worst part.
I opened the front of this totally destroyed book and read some inscriptions that to this day I find hard to imagine. First was the note from Mr. Croke himself saying, "Thanks, Bill, for the book. I hope to borrow more stuff someday. Matt Croke." A message from Reed Martin that said, "Bill, many thanks for letting us borrow your book. We treated it as if it were our own. Reed." Yeah, right. And then a message from Austin that says, "You can tell this book has been really loved and rode hard." Well, that I can imagine. You only need see the condition of this book to know that it was more than rode hard. It looked like you had played tennis with it or volleyball with it. I'm not sure how best to describe.
In the rain, like soccer, like we had kicked it all over the place.
In the rain, drinking coffee. Reading it perhaps around the campfire.
Right, and dropping it into the campfire.
Perhaps. That's what it looks like. Can't imagine. Well, mind you, Matt Croke has never borrowed a book of mine since.
Nor has he ever performed at the Kennedy Center
since.
Can't comment on that. I'm just saying.
I think this comes down to that he owes me $10, or either I owe him $10. It doesn't matter. Somebody owes somebody $10, whether it's me, whatever. And I think that's what really, I think there are deeper issues here. And I hope we can resolve them, you know, in the near future.
As the horrifying facts of the story became clear, I did try to see if there was some sort of positive lesson we could take away from all of this. First with Matt Croak.
You have to think it was worth it, though, wasn't it, borrowing that book? Because it really added a level of reality to your character, and it really helped the production of the performances of all the great books abridged.
And in essence, that helps him, which then helps the Kennedy Center, which is then beneficial for the Washington, D.C. area, which then extrapolates to Virginia and some of the East Coast counties. So really, what we're talking here is that this was done for the betterment, dare I say, the world? You know, and if more books were probably destroyed, if more theater was done this way, we would probably still have a AAA rating, would we not? I mean, wouldn't this all come down to what we stand for as a country? So I don't know what the whole bugaboo is here. I mean, really, you know, for my opinion, every book should be torn apart like that.
Well, and the fact that this happened at the in the John F. Kennedy Performing Arts Center in Washington, D.C., arguably our nation's national theater, you know, a temple to the arts, that we would do this to a book in a temple to the arts, I think is high praise.
Well, and have you ever been to the library part of the JFK Kennedy Center? Every book there is also torn apart, coffee stains, and water. And again, I could be incorrect about my facts, but that's not the point. The point is, in theory, what I'm talking about, the book should be like that, which then represents the spirit of John F. Kennedy.
And secondly, with Bill Mattson.
One could argue that there is what they call value added to this book. This book, as destroyed as it is a treasure trove of memories, isn't it? A repository, a sort of a Horcrux of memories, isn't it?
Is it now?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm making. It is. By the look on your face, I can see that you're not buying it.
History will tell.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. Please become a friend of William J. Mattson and Matthew Croak on Facebook, and let them both know that you support them in this time of need. Send us the pictures of your extremely loved books via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments at our website podcast page, and you could post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, bibliophile Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Kelly Holly, one of our almost 5,400 Twitter followers. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Stephen Klein from the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts and to our good friend Bill Mattson, who shared with us his pain. And thanks to Mike Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library, who spoke last week about the value of original books and the markings they received from their various owners, and whose comments inspired me to get Bill and Matt to talk about this. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 248th, 744th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Listen, this is like Pete Rose. Would anybody talk about Pete Rose as much as they did if he wasn't not in the Hall of Fame? The reason why Pete Rose is talked about so much is because he's not in the Hall of Fame. Did he gamble? Did he not gamble? This book has bought Bill friends. He had, I think, like 4 friends on Facebook, and then this book thing happened, and he's got like 200 friends on Facebook. So, you know, really, this is the best thing that ever happened to Bill Mattson. It really is. And you know, yeah, you're welcome, which is fine. I'm not looking for thank yous, but bottom line, yeah, you're welcome.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
P.S. Just so you know, we bought a second copy of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix just so we could destroy it so lovingly. You're welcome, J.K. Rowling. Bill's actual first edition copy remained and remains pristine.